And the second reading this morning comes from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Spiritual blessings in Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us all with wisdom and understanding. This is the word of the Lord.
A friend of mine a little while back sent me a link on an email to the random Elizabethan curse generator website. So you can go onto this website and click curse me, and it will curse you with Shakespearean English. And so as an example, you can receive such curses as thou currish, ill-composed coxcomb, or thou fawning base-caught dogfish, or thou mangled swag-bellied hemp seed. Maybe my favourite, thou grizzled toad-spotted mouldwarp. And you can download an app onto your phone, and you can put it in the settings for it to curse you weekly or daily or hourly. You can have yourself cursed in Elizabethan English. And that hasn't got really much at all to do with what I want to talk about today. I just really like the random Elizabethan curse generator. But oh no, there is an excuse. We're today thinking about blessing, and cursing is the opposite of blessing. So maybe the contrast will help us pick up the richness of blessing or not. But we are looking at Ephesians, and we're starting today a series that's going to run for a while on the book of Ephesians. And in the way of mentioning that, we happen to be commencing study series on Ephesians in our Thursday night men's Bible study group at our place, and there could be a couple of spare spots around the lounge room if there are any newcomers interested. But anyway, but the importance of the book of Ephesians, it's good for us to note that trying to work out as Christians how we live in uncertain times, and as a church to fulfill God's mission for us now and into the future, we can only know and do that as we really know and grasp who we are as Christians and as a church. And we've been looking at, leading up to Easter, we had a journey to the cross, and then Good Friday, and then Easter Day, the resurrection. And out of those flow the new life that comes to us as God's people and as the church. And that's what the book of Ephesians explores in depth, who we are and our place within God's purposes. So today, blessing, and not just blessing, as we've heard, every blessing in the heavenly realms. And so, blessing. We're going to look firstly, what is it? Secondly, how we get it. And thirdly, how do we know that we have it? So firstly, blessing, what it is. And it's blessing is a kind of a a strange concept today, and we need to clarify that a bit. It's often used in very kind of a twee meaning, you know, oh, bless you, dear. What does that mean? Who knows, really? Or you might say, bless you. Some people still say when you sneeze. Apparently that came from the Middle Ages. The thought was that when you sneezed, your spirit momentarily left your body, and so you would say bless you so that it would come back. I don't know who dreamed that one up. But verses 1 to 14 in Ephesians 1 is from St. Paul a breathtaking effusion of praise to God. And he praises there, right from the get-go, the God who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. In other words, think of every very best good gift that God could possibly give us. And they're heavenly, they are divine, they're touched with divine glory, they're eternal in quality and character. And he says all of them, not just one or two or a few, there are heaps of them and they are all ours in one huge bundle. And St. Paul unfolds many of those blessings over the following verses in Ephesians 1. But in short, what it means is every possible good and benefit that we could ever hope or want to get from God in time or eternity. This hymn of praise from Paul starts at the mountaintop. And so we have to break that down. We have to zero in on some key parts of that limitless package of blessings to get a bit of a handle on it. And I'll do that now. But even so, we're only just scratching the surface. I'm just going to mention two or three things in very summary, but there are worlds here for us to explore in Ephesians chapter 1. There could be an entire preaching series on chapter 1 of Ephesians. But let me just take three. Chosen before the world's foundation, says in verse 4. Do you ever feel like an afterthought in people's reckoning? Do you ever feel second or third or 100th choice? Did you always get picked last on the sports team? Well, God chose you as his first choice. At the beginning, no, before the beginning of the world, God thought of you and chose you to love you. God chose you as his first choice. And I remember as a snotty-nosed young Christian, that blew my mind. I thought, me? God chose me? Before the foundation of the world, how could that be? And it blew my mind and it's still blowing my mind. Chose us for what? Blessing two, I'll just pick on here. Number two, adopted as children of the eternal God. Have you ever felt that your family is maybe, you know, a good way down in the social ladder? We're going up in the world. Children of the eternal God. And how close are we to God in this family? This seems too much to take in. In verse 4, he says that he makes us to be holy before him. And the phrase translated there, before him, speaks of the closest possible intimacy, that of a parent to a child, and more than that, that of spouse to spouse. And so the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we know, they live in a relationship of the most joyous, total belonging love. The Father says when Jesus is baptized, "This is my dear Son. I delight in him. I am nuts about him." And that's the kind of relationship the Father, Son and Holy Spirit have with each other. And in John 1, when it speaks of Jesus with the name the Word of God, he's the Son of God, and it says he was with God from the beginning. The phrase translated "with God" there means face to face. And so we are brought into that closeness with the Father. Have you ever been abandoned or let down or betrayed by anyone? Well, here is a loving, accepting embrace that can heal and surpass all brokenness. A good friend of mine in the congregation in Corn, he's gone to be with the Lord now, Danny, is an Aboriginal friend of mine who grew up in Corn. And Danny was a part of the stolen generation. And nothing he said to me takes away that, the wrong of that. But he said to me many times in tears of joy, being chosen by the Father as his dear son healed and overwhelmed me. Stunning. And you see, as Christians, we receive that from the Father. We also get to share it with one another. And so that's part of the work of reconciliation, you see, with the Aboriginal community that we're involved in. How can we possibly come into a relationship that close, that full, that rich with God? And I'll just pick on a third of that big package of blessings here in verse 7, redemption. Through Jesus' blood. You know, this is a new life and a relationship that we were separated from by sin. And what sin means is simply this. It simply means going our own way and trusting ourselves to make it in life. And not going God's way and not trusting in his grace alone to save and fulfill us. You see, every human being is actually trying to save themselves and can't. And this is not just a religious thing. You know, I put into Google yesterday the word redemption because I was interested to see, does redemption crop up in the secular world out there? Because it can seem a bit of a religious word. And what Google took me to was an atheist website. And on there, there was all sorts of posts from people all around the world who like to think of themselves as atheists. And what they were saying again and again was, we don't believe in sin, and so we can just forgive ourselves. It's interesting, if they don't believe in sin, why they'd need to forgive themselves. But they kept saying again and again, we still have deep problems. We need redemption. And the word redemption came up again and again and again. And that surprised me and stunned me. No, this is something no person on the face of the earth can get away from. Steve Brown, a Christian theologian, preacher, broadcaster, says, every human being deep down is needy, sinful, and worried. That's the human race, you see. So we've got to be redeemed. We've got to be brought out of that mess by someone. We can't do it. It's got to be God. It's got to be Jesus. And what Paul is saying here is precisely that Jesus does that. He can and he does fully redeem us. He pays for every last sin in his death on the cross. He frees and forgives us and he brings us into a totally new life as beloved children of God. And that is for all who look to him, any who will look to him in faith and repentance. I've just picked in briefest summary on three of that huge package of blessings. And it's just a snapshot, as I said, just scratching the surface. But that's something of what blessing is. And it's huge. It's enormous. So second point, blessing, how do we get it? Well, Paul tells us many times in the book of Ephesians, many times in this passage, verses 1 to 14 of Ephesians 1, it was 35 times in the book of Ephesians he uses the phrase, in Christ, in Christ. So in other words, all the blessings are in Jesus. They're contained in him. He's achieved and won all these blessings for us in himself. And so if we are in him, then we are also in, we also have everything that is in him. And so we have every blessing. Now, this is very imperfect as an image, an illustration, but it's kind of like, imagine Jesus is this giant tank and it's full of water and all the blessings that could ever be are infused into that water, kind of like the best cup of coffee you could ever imagine, full of the richest blessings. And if we get in that tank, if we get in a relationship with Jesus, then we get soaked with the blessings, bathed in blessings. You might remember back, it reminded me of back in the 1980s, the Colgate toothpaste commercials with Mrs. Marsh. Do you remember those? And she'd have the dyed water and she'd stick the piece of chalk in and she'd crack it and show it to the children and they'd see that the colour has seeped into the chalk and they'd say, oh, it does get in. Well, only Mrs. Marsh's science was rubbish, but Jesus is real life. And so we have a personal relationship with Jesus so close that he lives in us by the Holy Spirit and we live in him. In him we live and move and have our being, Paul says. Jesus says, John 14:20, you are in me, I am in you. We are in him. We dwell in him. And so by the Holy Spirit, Jesus touches and affects every part of our life with his life and with his blessings. Now, very importantly, we need to get the point that Paul is making here, that God has blessed us in Christ. It's already happened. It's past tense. We've already seen, when did this happen? Jesus did this 2,000 years ago when he died on the cross. That's when he redeemed us with his blood. And so our blessing happened then. And so what that means is that our blessing is not dependent on us. It's not achieved by our success, nor is it cancelled by our failure. Jesus achieved our blessing for us by grace. And those blessings are secured for us now and eternally by grace, whether we know it or not. So how would we receive all those blessings? Simply by faith. Simply by not acknowledging that we need them, that's repenting. And simply by believing that they're ours, and they're ours. Does that mean that the blessings will still be ours if we don't receive them in faith? Well, no, of course not. The greatest gift in the world can't do us any good if we refuse to receive it, if we refuse to unwrap it and use it and enjoy it. But all blessings are ours at once as soon as we have faith in Christ. You know, receiving the blessings of God is not a process. We don't progressively get more bits of blessing as we become more spiritual. Blessing is not doled out by God in dribs and drabs. Sure, we grow in our faith. We grow in our spiritual life and behaviour throughout our lives in all sorts of ways and wonderful ways. But this is not us achieving more bits of blessing. This is simply us discovering the spiritual blessings that are already ours in Christ. This is all of those blessings being made more and more alive in us and us alive in them by the power of the Holy Spirit. When I became a Christian as a young adult, I had a bit of an extremist bent. I got onto the theme of Christian perfection, the idea that as a Christian, you make yourself more and more like Jesus through all sorts of spiritual exercises, particularly Bible reading and prayer, of course. And I remember at that time reading in a biography of John Wesley, a quote from Wesley that each day had 24 hours in it, which allowed 8 hours for work, 8 hours for sleep, and 8 hours for prayer. And thinking that that would be something good to aspire to, not averse to a bit of extremism himself, John Wesley, I got into that. And I used to hammer myself as much as possible to advance in this kind of spiritual life. And I would feel okay and good if I thought I did pretty well on one particular day, but on another day I could be in the pits of despair and flogging myself with guilt if I felt I'd failed. And you know, most of the time I was spiritually and emotionally exhausted and pretty joyless. And in those early years of my faith, it was the most revolutionary and life-changing discovery that I had Christ, all of Christ, and with him every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. It's already given me in Christ. And then I learned to relax and soak in the riches of those blessings that I'd already been given, and to love and thank God the Father. And I still did plenty of Bible reading and praying, in fact, maybe even more. Not because I had to, but because I wanted to. And more witnessing too. Such good news was just too good to keep yourself. You just wanted to tell people about it. But for me, it was like the lady buying that £1 pot plant and vase. See, in discovering that it was just vast riches that I'd never imagined. Third point, and this will be the briefest. All blessings. So that's how do we get them. But how do we really know that we have them? Because sometimes we can be pretty doubtful. Well, most importantly, God has promised them to us. He says that if we have faith in Jesus Christ, it is the truth about us. All blessings are ours. And as we've been hearing, it's a promise that's been written in the blood of Jesus Christ. Just as the cross happened 2,000 years ago, it is absolutely certain that the blessings are ours. All we have to do is cling absolutely to his promise, his word in faith. It's like God has attached a seal to us and he stamped on it redeemed or eternally blessed. That's what our baptisms are. God placing his physical seal on us that is the case. Will we always feel blessed? Some days yes, some days no. Some days it may seem like all hell is screaming at us that we are cursed. Will that alter our state of full blessedness? Not one bit. If we cling in faith to God's promise, his gospel. But just in finishing, there will be also another sign of all blessings being ours. And Paul shows us this in verse 6, where he says, he cries out to the praise of his glorious grace. Verses 3 to 14 in Greek has no full stops. It's a huge slab of writing with no full stops. Why does it have no full stops? Because Paul was too overwhelmed in just getting out his praise that he couldn't think of stopping for breath. It's a breathless, ecstatic outburst of praise and worship. He is blessing God here. Why? Because God has already blessed him and us so stunningly. Before we ever thought about him, before we ever thought of opening our mouth in praise, he has come to us and blessed us. And so Paul is in the full realization of this limitless blessing that he already has in Christ, and it blows his mind and his heart and his body and his voice. The Holy Spirit has revealed the full deal to him. And when we know the full blessing that is already ours in Christ, when it hits home to us in the power of the Holy Spirit, we will do the same. Burst. Overflow with joyous praise. We have known this in our lives. We will know it again. We're hearing God's promise to us now. Every blessing in the heavenly realms, the Holy Spirit is here, just as he was with Paul, to set us on fire with it. Open our hearts to him and receive. Amen. Let's pray. God, our Father, we sometimes in our thinking and in our feeling as Christians, as a church, we can feel like we haven't got all that much to celebrate. That we don't have all that much good news. Sometimes we get around with glum faith and glum faces. Can feel a bit like we've just managed to pick up a dirty old vase and pot plant at a car boot sale for a buck. And Father, in Jesus we have eternal riches. In fact, we have every blessing we could ever want in the heavenly realms now in Christ, and it may just be that we haven't discovered it, or that we have forgotten it and we need to rediscover it. Help us to do that, Father, and may you transform our lives with it to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.